Shabbat shalom, everyone. Happy week of Passover. So I'm going to postpone my series on God's calendar and focus on this week of Passover. So we're in the middle of it. I'm going to sum up some things, and we'll get back to the series on the calendar in the next couple of weeks. Want to remind you that tomorrow is First Fruits. That's when we start counting the Omer. You can get Omer calendars out there. There's liturgy. You can go to our resource page. There's a lot there that will clue you in as well as we connect Passover with Pentecost. You can't have one without the other. And so that's the design of the count. So we want to encourage you to join us in that count. Tomorrow is also First Fruits. It's the day of resurrection, which we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah. So it's a holy day, and so we encourage you to take that time, spend it with your family. It's a 24-hour holy day. Do no work unless you are new and you're learning about it, but we publish a calendar every year so that you can ask your employer, for days off to worship the Lord, because you are free men and free women, right? So get those days from your employer so you can have them off for you and your family. So we'll talk more about that later, but what I want to talk about today is the rise of the Passover lamb. So when the prophet John saw Yeshua, he exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Who would have guessed that the lamb that would be slain would not only rise again, but would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The world who mocked him, tortured him, crucified him, would now answer to him for what it did. But for those who would repent, humble themselves, and ask him for forgiveness, to them he would bless, forgive, and redeem. Those whom he saved, he would exalt as his children, and they would join him in ruling and reigning over all creation. This is the story and glory of Passover, and where it ultimately leads to. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to take a picture of the rise of the Passover lamb and where the Passover lamb ends up. John 5. Now, if you look at chapter 4, which is the background to, Revelation. Revelation 4 is the background to chapter 5. John, the apostle, has ascended into the throne room of God in heaven. It's filled with light. It has a rainbow behind the throne. There's translucent stones in the throne room which refract all of the light, like prisms. And it's like this ultimate light show that's going on in the throne room. And there's these four supernatural immortal creatures that when you read, they're just like really hard to kind of depict, right? They're full of eyes. They one has the face of a man. I mean, it's just like, what are these things, right? What do they represent? But there's these four supernatural immortal creatures that are there around the throne. And then around them are 24 elders. So we have all this imagery, of course, cast in apocalyptic literature, which is highly symbolic, meant to communicate some truths to us concerning who Jesus is. Pick up the reading, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. Then I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." Think about that. The setting is the cosmos. It's the entire universe. It's all created things, seen and unseen. And believe me, there is a creation of the unseen realm that's vast and intricate. And that exists even prior to our existence as human beings. And among all that God has created, everything, every being, every angel, all the phenomenon, no one is worthy to open up the scroll. Even these four mysterious supernatural creatures. Verse 5, and one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the worthy one. Why is he worthy to open the scrolls? Why is he the one that has a right, a divine right, to open this divine book? Because he conquered. He's the only one that overcomes the serpent. He's the only one that triumphs over evil. And how he does that is surprising and remarkable in every way. And because of that, he has a right to open up the scroll of the book. So who is this Lion of the tribe of Judah? Verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb. We move from the imagery of a lion to a lamb. A lion that has conquered to the picture of a lamb. Somehow the lion morphs into a lamb, which tells us a little bit about the lion and how he conquers. Saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. On my Facebook, I found a picture. I put it up last night. It is the most, it's just hard to look at. It is the depiction of a lamb that's slain. So it has this beautiful depiction in terms of the artwork of the head of this lamb that's drenched in blood, dripping with blood, and it has seven eyes and these seven huge horns coming out of its head. It is kind of an artistic rendition of the words that we're reading right here in the text. And I'm thinking to myself, if we could picture what John is seeing, it is stunning and breathtaking in every sense of the word. The one that overcomes is this blood-drenched lamb that has all these eyes and horns. What does that speak of? What is it describing? To have these eyes, which are seven in number, speaks of the completeness of the ability of the lamb to see all things in all places in all times. Horns depict authority. Seven speaks of completeness, that the lamb has complete authority to rule and reign over all creation, seen and unseen. Why? Because he's drenched in blood. What does that mean? He came as a lamb, meek, appearing to be weak. It was a stunning play in God's playbook because the enemy did not anticipate this. God revealed things in such a way that it was basically a huge mystery that no one could sort out on purpose so that the enemy would not see what was coming. What looked meek and weak was actually the all-powerful one, a Trojan horse, if you will. A Trojan horse, right? Because in the death of Jesus, Satan, assuming now, I have the soul of the Messiah for all eternity. He has his own realm, his own dominion and authority, and now he has the soul of Messiah in the realm of death, in Jesus' crucifixion. Well, he didn't have the Lamb of God. What it turned out to be was the lion of the tribe of Judah, who rose up in the realm of the dead and took his keys from him, stripping him of his power, and then paraded him in mockery and humiliation for all the underworld to see, and then rose from the dead as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was D-Day. That was D-Day. What the enemy thought was his victory was his defeat. Defeat. Just like World War II. When they stormed the beaches of Normandy and took the beaches, Hitler knew the war was over. He had been defeated. Now, from that time until the end of the war, more people died than any other time during the war. It was a fairly short period of time. But that was the most intense battle. Hitler knew he was defeated, and yet he lashed out with everything that he had left until V-Day came, and they surrendered. And Satan is lashing out with everything that he has because he knows his time is short, and V-Day is coming. When Jesus returns again, that's V-Day. We're living between D-Day and V-Day. It's exciting in every sense. Verse 7, and he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, verse 8, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Jesus appears as a lamb, not a lion. He could have chosen that to be his symbol, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But instead he chooses the role of the lamb. He's appearing in the heavenlies in the throne room as the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. And so majestic and beautiful is the slain one that the most important, powerful people in the throne room, close to God, the four creatures and the 24 elders, they rise up, they take their crowns, they cast them at his feet, and they fall down to worship him. Worship who? The Lamb of God, the Lamb who was slain. The one who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that conquered. He's the one that suffered, bled, and died on our behalf, carried the weight of the sin of the world. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Yes, he will be exalted. He will be honored. The Father is all about saying, hey, I'm giving everything to my son because he did it all for you. He did it all for me. And that's why he's honored. That's why he's worshiped. And not only by them, but by all of us, for all eternity, the Lamb of God who accomplished redemption through his precious blood. And they sang to him, verse 9, a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. I want to read this verse again. God orchestrated this. The anointed one who had never experienced sin became sin for us so that we might be the embodiment of the very righteousness of God. To the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. This salvation has come through the blood of the Lamb. This is the very symbol of Passover. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb applied on the doorposts, exempting those inside the house from the wrath of God poured out on the kingdom of darkness. And that's a type and shadow, right? That's a type and shadow of what's coming. There's a greater redemption that's still coming. It's in Messiah. There's a greater conflict still coming. There's a greater Pharaoh still coming. But all of those who apply the blood of the Lamb to their hearts, to their lives, we will be exempt from the wrath of God that's coming against this world. chapter 5 and verse 10. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They shall reign on the earth. You have made them a kingdom. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom. He's the king and the kingdom. He said, until John, the law and the prophets were proclaimed. Since that time, the kingdom of God has come, and everyone is forcing their way into it. The kingdom's been here for 2,000 years. The good news is that you can make Jesus your Lord and Savior, and through that, enter into his kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God over our lives. It's the realm of God's rule and reign. When we come into Jesus, we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we learn to live under the rule and reign of a compassionate, merciful, loving kindness God. You have made them those who you died for on the cross. Before the cross, during the cross, after the cross, you have made them a kingdom. We enter in, we become subjects of the king, and we become one with his kingdom. We are a kingdom. In Yeshua, you and I are part of a vast kingdom that's growing and expanding. It's greater in number than all the nations of the earth. It's, I think, 2.6 billion strong at this point. That's a whole lot of people that are a part of this kingdom. He says, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. You're a priest. In Messiah, you're a priest. What does a priest do? What is the job of a priest? The job of the priest is to represent people to God and to represent God to people. That's our job. Jesus is gone. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's representing us before the Father. Our job is to represent Jesus to our world, to help people encounter the living Christ, to help people give their lives to enter into the kingdom through faith in Jesus. That's why we are here today. Our fundamental purpose is to help people come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Everyone's got a story. I know. We come every week. We wear our Shabbat mask. You know, we smile. Everything's going good. We're doing great. But we have these stories of heartache and suffering and loss and disappointments. And most of the time, we don't share that unless we get close enough with one another. Just like the story I told you earlier of my friend. You'd be amazed how many people around you have similar stories of heartache, alienation. You'd be amazed to find out how many people struggle with suicide ideation. Amazing. Depression, anger, addictions all around us. But they wear a mask as if everything's okay. It's not. Our job is to love people and look for opportunities to get them to open up their book, their life, to share their hurts, their disappointments, so that we can share ours too. Hey, let me show you some scars. You get to share some scars. And what's the goal? To help them to understand the one that healed you, the one that lifted you up, the one that gave you life, so that you could offer that to them and they can experience the Lamb of God who takes away their sin. Side note, it says, not only are we priests to our God, it says, they shall reign on the earth. They shall reign on the earth. Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. He has the scepter of God. He's been ruling and reigning over the nations for 2,000 years. And I think he's doing a great job, don't you? He's doing a great job. We say, well, what about all this stuff that's going on in the world? Hey, we're between D-Day and V-Day. It's a war. It's okay. V-Day's coming. He's going to reconcile all things. And he's going to judge all things. And he's going to right every wrong. He's going to wipe away all our tears. Do you realize that he's going to judge the living and the dead? It says in the book of Revelation that the 24 elders, their thrones are connected to his throne. And there's other places in the book of Revelation that talks about multiple thrones, just a myriad of thrones connected to his throne. Because he's determined he's not going to judge billions and billions of people. But rather, he's going to give that to everyone who's made him their Lord and Savior. That's us. We're going to judge billions of people. We get to adjudicate billions of people. We get to rule and reign with Jesus on this earth. I've told people in the flesh before to leave me alone because one day I might be judging them. So just knock it off. Give me a break, you know? The bigger picture is this. There's a lot of evil in this world. A lot of terrorism, a lot of murder, mayhem, rape, pillaging, theft, oppression, trafficking. There's all kinds of things. And somehow it's been going on really since the beginning. And sometimes it feels like, God, it's unchecked, you know? No one's held accountable. People get away with this. No one does. We will judge all of that. We'll adjudicate all of that. We'll determine punishment for all of that. The only saving grace is for those who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God. These are the ones who will work with him on V-Day. Going to be amazing. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads, thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing." Worthy is the Lamb. Not worthy is the lion, worthy is the lamb. The lion didn't die, worthy is the lamb. It was the Son of God who gave up his power and glory, who came and laid down his life, endured the hardship, endured the suffering and the torture, died on the cross when he could have called 10,000 angels. And he did it because he loved us. And for that, he receives all the power and all the glory and all the honor and blessing forever and ever. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." We have depicted in art and entertainment over and over and over the great drama of the war between good and evil. We see this over and over and over, messianic ideologies in our movies and songs and sports. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This is the ultimate depiction of that, in which all others draw from. The Lord of the Rings, the return of the King, you know, all of that glory, all of that surprise, all of that wonder, right? Just a shadow of what will be given to Yeshua the Messiah on the day of his return, the return of our King. And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. So in conclusion, I just want to say, Passover is about a redemption that is twofold. First the natural, Egypt, and then the spiritual, which is in Messiah. I want to encourage everyone to make sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Confess that you're a sinner, that you're in need of a Savior. Make the declaration, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and cause me to be born again. And then lead me out of my Egypt, out of my sin and shame, through my Red Sea, which is depicted in baptism, by the way. We're going to have some baptisms coming up. So excited about that. But that is the fulfillment of what is depicted in the splitting of the waters of the Red Sea as they come out of Egypt into the land of freedom. I'm going to leave you with this verse, and then I'm going to pick it up and talk more about it on Monday. Revelation 18, 4 through 5. This is the week of deliverance coming out of Egypt. But this is in the future. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins and lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Let's make sure that we're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of this world, its values, right? That we separate ourselves so that when the plagues begin to fall, they don't touch us. It's an important lesson to learn. Happy week of Passover.